Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, October the 12th, 2023, 16 minutes past the hour, 50 degrees and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. And what an interesting day it is today as we kick off the Thursday program. Got a lot to talk about this morning. Want to run down some events coming up here in the Marion area. Kids Night Out will be taking place at the Kroger on Marion Mount Gilead Road, October 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. Come join them for some free activities and treats. They will have stations set up around the store. The kids will enjoy. Treats are subject to change depending on the number of kids they have. That's Kids Night Out, October 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Kroger here in on Marion Mount Gilead Road. Dinner with the Presidents will be taking place on Saturday, November the 4th, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. All occasions catering and banquet facility, 6989 Waldo, Delaware Road in Waldo, Ohio. Event pricing, $40 for VIP seating, $35 for general seating. The speaking presidents that night will be James Buchanan, Andrew Johnson, Chester Arthur, and Theodore Roosevelt. The non-speaking presidents will be George Washington, James Madison, Martin Van Buren, U.S. Grant, Benjamin Harrison, Warren G. Harding, Harry S. Truman, First Ladies Mamie Eisenhower and Nellie Taft, Master of Ceremonies Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service Agent 1914 to 1943, and Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States of America. Tickets can be gotten by going to Heritage Hall or by calling them 740-387-4255 or by going online marionhistory1word.com, marionhistory.com, and you can get your tickets through October the 18th. All right, that's our calendar here this morning. Also want to say I hope everything went well last night at the River Valley Candidates Night. I did not have a chance to attend that event last night. I had another event going on, which I'll tell you about here momentarily. But I hope everything went well. I hope all the questions got answered. And onward and upward to the levy. I know a lot of people in River Valley want those levies to pass coming up this November. Hopefully that happens for them in that area. I know they're very passionate about that in regard to some programs that they do not want to lose. And hopefully the candidates all did well last night. Now, let me tell you what I did last night. I had a lot of fun last night. I've got to say that last night we did our television taping. And we had a guest on last night who we had not had on the television taping with Carrington and Matt. Matter of fact, Carrington had never met this person, and Matt had only met this person one other time very briefly back at the beginning of summer, maybe May or June. But the person was the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Now, I don't think I'd had Ted on the television program since maybe February or March of last year. So he came up last night and he taped an episode with me, and then he taped an episode with the kids, Carrington and Matt. And here's what I can tell you. We had so much fun. Now, I know that I come on here on Thursday morning and I say, boy, the taping was fun last night with Carrington and Matt. When you throw Ted in there, he is so honest. Now, however you feel about Ted Williams, you can feel any way you want about him. You can feel that he's whatever he is. You know, he certainly has done some things in his life that have been called into question. There's no doubt about it. But he is a very charismatic, honest person. So Carrington got there early last night, and Sean was there running the camera. And Ted comes in, and we're taping the first interview, which is the interview with me. And Ted got off onto a tangent, talking about some things that had recently been going on in his life. And I don't want to ruin it, but let's just say it was about as honest as you're going to get. Matter of fact, I don't know how it could have gotten any more honest. And a little bit provocative, which, you know, that's okay as long as you're being honest. So then we bring everybody together. Matt shows up, and we get Matt and Carrington and Ted and I all together to do the exchange. And, let me try to tell this story without giving too much away. When Ted first became very well known, more than a decade ago, he appeared on the Jimmy Fallon show nationally out of NBC. And Jimmy was asking him about meeting Matt Lauer, who was then the co-host of the Today Show. And Ted, in this clip, talked about how Matt Lauer brought the female out in him. So we were talking about this because for years there has been a group of people, and Ted acknowledged this, who think that Ted is gay because he made that comment on the National Jimmy Fallon show. Well, we got into this subject last night, and Ted was talking about how people have thought he was gay, that a lot of times he'll go down to the Short North to do an autograph signing or something like that, and gay men will come up to him and say things. Now, they do more than say things, but I'm not going to give that away. So Carrington's listening to this whole thing, and we kind of go through the whole bit. So then we all get together, and it's Carrington and Matt and Ted and I. And I start the show, and somehow we talked a little bit longer about this whole thing of Ted being perceived as gay. Now, Carrington speaks up at this point and goes, "I have a question to ask." Now, this is sweet, pure Carrington. And she speaks up, and she says, "Now, to be honest, I blacked out during this question, but it's something like this." I'm going to paraphrase it. She said something to the degree of when, I don't even know if I can tell this story without giving too much away. Let's just say this. She asked a question about his same sex status, even though Ted is not gay, and he made that very clear. She asked a question about the fact that people had thought that, and the question that she asked was a really good question. It was a really, really, really good question, but when it came out of her mouth, I just couldn't, it was so bizarre, because she has always kind of been very pure and kind of very demure, and it was so funny, it was so unexpected, it just completely, you're going to have to watch the episode. It'll be up later on this week on YouTube. Just search The Exchange, Scott Spears. You will not want to miss this. And Matt, at the end of the interview, found out that Ted was in the Army, had served in the service, and Matt did a little interview with Ted himself. So it was just fantastic. These kids are coming along like nobody's business. And we took pictures last night with Ted, and then we took some other pictures that are very interesting, which will be up on Facebook, I imagine, later on today. It's just a fun group. I just cannot tell you how much I love the group that we have here at the station right now. Of course, I love Carrington and Matt, as I have said. But I've got to tell you, to have Pastor Craig back in the fold, and by the way, we've got an announcement we're going to make tomorrow in regard to Pastor Craig, so tune in tomorrow morning. Tomorrow is our big Friday the 13th Triskaidekaphobia morning. We'll start with Matt and Sean from 8:15 until 9 a.m., and then at 10 a.m. we have Pastor Whitaker. 9 a.m. we have Pastor Whitaker. 10 a.m. we have Matt, Sean, and myself again, and then at 11 a.m. we have Pastor Craig. At 12 tomorrow, we'll have Sean, Matt, Pastor Craig, and myself, and we'll make that announcement in regard to what's going on with Pastor Craig. And then tomorrow night on the Friday Night Live show, we'll have Carrington and Matt and Sean and myself, and it'll be Friday the 13th, Triskaidekaphobia Day, and we're going to have a tremendous time. Now, so stay tuned tomorrow. But the point is, Pastor Whitaker, I love hanging out with Pastor Whitaker every week. He's been around with us now for, I believe, about 5 years. Pastor Craig, so glad to have him back in the fold, which started back with the fair in July. It's great to have him here. I know he's going to be participating in our election coverage. I look forward to that. Carrington and Matt both came about in the last, Matt came on in May. Carrington came on in July. Both of them have turned out to be great. Sean is taking a much bigger role in the radio station as of late, and it's great to have him back in the fold. Linda is still there turning out great programs. Adam keeps the website going. The news, the weather, the obituaries, which are all essential to the operation of this station, and occasionally does a good program. It's really just the best group to be a part of, and we have our regular guests and friends of the station who are like family. Ted Williams, Mary Ellen Withrow, George Kasotis. It's really just the best group that we have ever had. And everybody's happy, and everybody gets along, and we can argue, and we can fight, and we can have fun. And it's so diverse, I think, is what I love about it. I mean, we now have people as young as 20 years old, which was, I don't think that ever happened in the past. But, of course, we still have people, you know, in their 90s who come on this station on a regular basis. So I love it. It's the best time. Then, after that was all over last night, we didn't finish the taping until probably close to 10 o'clock. I went out to dinner last night with, again, and I'm not talking about the personal life anymore, but I went out to dinner last night, went out to B-Dubs, had a great meal last night at B-Dubs, which was about the only place open, and was there until after 11 o'clock, came home, did my walk, went to bed, and got up and did the show this morning. So that was the fun we had last night, but so many laughs with Ted and the kids. So many laughs, so much fun, but really good material, really good interviews. It was just tremendous. I loved it, and I hope you love it too as time goes on. And I'm sure we'll hear more about it from Matt tomorrow and Sean and Carrington as they were all there last night when it took place. All right, phone lines are open. Does anybody have any thoughts? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz, and we can talk about anything you like at this particular point. Other points of interest this morning. I still haven't figured out what to do with my gift from a place where I now have been 10 years. They give you a gift after 10 years. I still haven't decided if I'm going to go with the green old-fashioned Studebaker radio or if I'm going to buy the gift for the girl and give it to her at Christmas. I don't know. It's jewelry. I haven't figured it out yet. We'll see what happens. I still have this gift for one of our listeners, which came from Florida, one of our listeners who works in the doctor's office, so hopefully they hear us soon and we can talk to them. We got a phone call coming in here, which I like. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, interviewer to the celebrity impersonators. Quite a...
Oh, yeah, that was fun yesterday. That was fun.
Yeah, I was glad to hear from Dr. Ruth, you know, and she did mention me. Well, what a sweet lady.
Yeah, I can't imagine she would mention you. That's interesting.
And Donnie Baby, well, you've yet to interview King Charles, but I'm sure that's in the plans. But Donald Trump, you know, next best thing, I think, maybe a little better. It was quite quite amusing. I enjoyed every syllable.
He's so sharp and so good, and I hope people enjoyed that yesterday. And, you know, I just felt we got to the point in this country where things were getting very heavy. We've got wars going on in this world. We've got things going on in Washington. Things are getting very heavy. The election's coming up in less than a month, and I thought we need to have some fun. And I thought we were able to do that yesterday.
Donald's getting kind of heavy, too, so I guess that has multiple meanings, doesn't it?
I guess it does.
I was going to give my assessment of the reinstatement of Frazier. I don't want to...
Was it on last night?
Yeah, as of 3:01 a.m., because they did it based upon midnight Pacific time. It was wrong. It doesn't actually air like at 8 p.m. like, you know, we're used to for a primetime TV show. It's on demand on Paramount Plus at Pacific time midnight, and so I was up just after 3 a.m., and on went the TV. I've gotten a lot of feedback from my Facebook posts and one that I shared with my Frasier fan club. It was better than I was expecting, Scott. Honestly, it's as good as the original. Really, really impressed. They put on two episodes, and again, I don't want to be a spoiler. Were you planning on watching it yourself?
Well, yeah, I probably will at some point.
Okay, so just to let you know, we have two younger cast members. One is almost like a parody of Niles, but like Niles in many ways. The other one, a lot like Martin. They did do a, I mean, almost brought me to tears, and it did bring some other group members to tears. A tribute to Martin, and Frazier's as sharp as ever. And so I'll tell you, folks, you can get a trial of Paramount Plus if you kind of object to having to pay to watch a sitcom as I do. But even if you pay, it's not very much. But you can get there's a promo code. You can get a 30-day free trial like I have. It won't cost you anything but the electricity to watch it on your TV. It is worth it. It's on demand. I'm going to sure watch it again today. And very good. Not lost a beat. And just comparing to all the, lack of a better term, Scott, crapola. I guess you can say that on the radio. That's on the air now. All this political correctness shoved in your face. And these reality shows that are about as real as a tooth fairy. We have a great old-fashioned comedy, and let's say it's also a little more racially diverse cast, which is fine. That's come up with Frasier, that the show is considered to be too white, but that's been addressed. And the diversity of the cast members, I think, is one of the charms of the show. Every single supporting cast member is excellent. There's no dog or non-homo sapiens animal kingdom member, but who knows, that might change. And I will tell you, folks, if you have any interest at all as a Frasier watcher, do encourage you to view it. This incredible Scott, 40 years this character has been around, and now he's, in real life, he's 68, I believe. So he's gone from around 30 to around 70. And it's like maybe my generation of I Love Lucy. The staying power, and a great show. You know, it makes you think about life. You just enjoy the people's different viewpoints, like you talked about in your co-host, people of different backgrounds, different generations, and different viewpoints. And definitely give it a thumbs up. Better than I was expecting. I didn't know what to think without Niles and Daphne, but it's right on the mark. And if some of these people do make a guest appearance, it'll be even better.
Well, I think that's why it is good, to be honest. I think one of the problem with these reboots is if you bring back all the cast that is living, it's hard to do that, because then there's not only an expectation on the main character, there's an expectation on the supporting cast that you have also liked. And it's hard to keep all those balls in the air, because after 11 years, and Frasier was on 11 years the original time, I think what do you do? I mean, you've done everything with the supporting cast. So if you take one character, which is essentially what they did, they plucked one character out of Cheers and put him into his own show. Again, that was a whole new cast at the time. It worked perfectly, and essentially that's what they've done again. They plucked that same character out of another show, Frasier, and gave him a whole new supporting cast. So I think that makes it easy to do a reboot, because you're not relying on any of the cast mates. It's not trying to be the original show. It can't be because you've only got one character from the original show in it.
And his personality is about the same. In some ways, they're kind of lampooning the mannerisms. Like on the trailer, this isn't really a spoiler because the trailer shows where Frasier kind of yells at his son Freddie for sitting on this Christian LaCroix couch or whatever it is with jeans. I never quite understood that. And what's he supposed to wear, a bathrobe? Or, I mean, who knows? So, but that kind of overdid it. But there was some overacting in the program, and I think that was part of the idea. But it's still funny. Honestly, my favorite supporting character is David. Again, the way he's just dislike his father, it's something else.
Now, David, and who's
Niles and Daphne's son?
He's that's Niles and Daphne's son.
I guess about 19. The show was on 19 years ago. He was born on the last episode. By the veterinarian.
Gotcha.
So he's 19, 20-ish, and the physical comedy and just the mannerisms and some ways reminds me of myself, as I have those quirks, although I'm not stuffy and snooty. And I'm not really into opera or that fancy dancy artistic stuff, but the quirky ways and the occasional physical comedy, it reminds me a little of myself, but in some ways not of myself. So it's always good when you see pieces of someone near and dear to you, even if including yourself in a character. Honestly, I have bits of many of the characters in me. Which is probably why I like the show. It is realistic, again, without stuffing the political correctness in your face, and that is just ruined series TV. Just think what it did to the Roseanne reboot. Roseanne was fired, and I mean, I think it was kind of intriguing to see John Goodman dating the actress who played Peg Bundy in a different kind of a role. But without Roseanne, I lost interest in that show fairly quickly, but I did like it initially.
I just want to say on that, because I'm not saying that Roseanne should or should not have been fired. You know, that was the corporate decision. But the problem there, it wasn't the political correctness of the show. Had they done that on the show, what she did, which, by the way, if people don't remember, she made a tweet that was considered to be off color about Valerie Jarrett, who had worked for President Obama. If it had been done on the show as a joke in a funny way, I think she could have gotten away with it. This was Roseanne tweeting at 3 o'clock in the morning, Roseanne Barr, not Roseanne Connor. I think that's a different situation.
But it's like with Jerry Seinfeld, it's like she sort of played herself. Jerry Seinfeld basically played himself in the show with some adjustments. I mean, you talked to the original Kramer, so we certainly had a part of that at the station. But it just ruined the show because there were similarities.
Yeah, I'm saying, whether it's Jerry Seinfeld or Kelsey Grammer or Roseanne Barr, I think when you don't do it in the show, that's not the political correctness of the show. You're doing it at 3 a.m. on Twitter. You know, that's the problem.
But their role did embody the Roseanne in real life many ways. That's kind of what I'm saying. Just like with Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld basically played himself with some adjustments, and Roseanne played a character similar to herself. And I think people couldn't tell those two species apart. And yeah, I wasn't thrilled about the whole situation. And
well, I think...
It's
just one of those things. Like I say, it wasn't my decision whether she should or should not be fired. But the problem is that when you're playing a character, I think that when you do something like that, I mean, certainly she's not the only one who's fallen this way. Speaking of Matt Lauer, which I was this morning, we don't see him anymore. And, I think when it's you and when it's not being done on television, which is where you're supposed to be, and I think people blur those lines. I think that's a big problem. I think people... I don't think Roseanne Connor is Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Connor's got writers to make her funny and to make her entertaining. And she's got a supporting cast of actors. She's not married to John Goodman. I think there's a difference. And I think people blur those lines, and that's the problem.
I just would like to lose all this political correctness, and a lot of it is very incorrect. And as you probably know, that I feel that way. But I guess we have to live in the present, Scott. So anybody would like an assessment of Frasier, A+. If you have to spend the $5.99 a month to watch it, it's certainly cheaper than going to the movies. And anybody else who's watched it, it's been available now for almost 6 hours. Call it. I'd love to hear your opinion.
If they watched it, they're probably still in bed.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Well, I know, but you're quirky, as you said.
I'm quirky, and I'm proud of it.
There you go.
Normal people are boring, Scott. That's what I say. So, makes me a pretty exciting guy. So you do plan on watching it, not like at 3 a.m. like 3:30 a.m.
yeah,
like I did.
I don't plan
on watching it.
I know the next 2 days are kind of busy, and I think Saturday I'll be busy, but maybe Sunday night. I don't know. Maybe.
So when are you going to the game with Buckeye guy? What's that been rescheduled?
Well, that won't be this week because that's an away game this week.
Yeah. Well, I don't follow the Buckeyes, as you know, but it's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you do watch it, Scott, I'd love to know what you think. I know you don't like to put your opinions out on anything. But
I would put my opinion out on a TV show. I would do that.
And anyone else who's watched it or is planning on watching it, and if you don't have Paramount Plus, ask nicely. I might invite you over, and we can sit in my house and we can watch it. If anybody wants, ask me nicely, I'd consider that. But yeah, well, I'd like to know what anybody else thinks about it. I don't think I've heard any calls about Frasier except for me. I keep harping on it, but
it just came out.
Opinions.
I think people will see what the reception is as far as are people watching it, you know, that sort of thing.
And also, I saw in your Facebook memories, this is the anniversary of speaking with Helen Thomas.
I was going to get to that. I was actually, I was going to get to that here in a moment.
That and Bill Cosby went viral. You were on internationally as well as on several other planets, I believe. So everybody's heard about you, and I'm privileged to speak to such an eminent person. It was imminent that you become eminent.
I tell you, hang on here in a few minutes, and I'm going to tell that story to the best of my ability.
Okay, well, that's all I had for today, and I look forward to hearing from more celebrity impersonators. The two yesterday were just exquisite.
Not bad. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day, Scott.
All right, our Frasier update there. Or critique, I should say. Frasier Review. 740-751-4038. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, 740-751-4038. And that's what I did last night. So if I'm burping up things this morning, it's from the late dinner I had last night at Buffalo Wild Wings. A lot of sports on there last night. Okay, Adam alluded to it, and I did put it on Facebook today. This is really kind of a special day for me. 13 years ago, and I don't remember, you might not remember this at this point, it's been 13 years, but 13 years ago, I was working at WMRN, and she was a huge name at the time, the Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas. Helen Thomas had interviewed every president from JFK through President Obama. And President Obama was the president at that time, 13 years ago. And she had always asked tough questions. She had been there for more than a half century. She was actually the person who ended press conferences by saying, "Thank you, Mr. President." She was the first person to do that back with John F. Kennedy. She had awards all over the country, scholarships in her name. She was always asked to speak places. She had, I don't know, written 3 books, I think, that had been bestsellers. She was just a very well-known person, Helen Thomas. Well, in May of 13 years ago been, 2010? In May of 2010, she had made some comments about Israel and Palestine. And as I was thinking of that this morning, I thought, you know, isn't it interesting with what's going on in Israel and Palestine now? But she had made some comments about Israel and Palestine that did not go over very well and led to her demise. She was fired from her job at Hearst Newspapers and lost her spot front row at the White House. And it was all very abrupt. So Helen was fired in May of 2010, and everybody wanted to talk to her. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. Everybody had commented on it. It was on all the news channels. President Obama made a comment about it. It was just a huge story when she got fired. Well, essentially, Helen went into hiding for about 5 months. Didn't speak to anybody. And everybody wanted to speak to her. And it's interesting because it's too long to tell the backstory of how I got the interview. I'm not going to tell you how I got the interview. Ask me sometime when we have more time, and I'll tell you how I got the interview. But Helen had come on the show in the past. When she was working for the White House, she had been on the show with me in the past. Or working for the press corps. Okay. So anyway, she calls me in early October, or I called her, I can't remember how it happened, and said she's finally ready to speak. So I drove to Washington, D.C., did the interview with her in her apartment, brought it back to WMRN, and on this morning, 13 years ago, it aired. And that interview went everywhere in the world. It was on CNN. It was on Fox News. It was on the O'Reilly Factor. It was on BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. It was TV stations all around the country. It was featured in newspapers all around the country. Front page of the Marion Star. Every internet site you could possibly think of. It was just an unbelievable time. I knew it was a big story because I knew she was speaking for the first time, but I never dreamed that it would have got the traction that it got. And it eventually led to a National Associated Press Award, which I don't think anybody in Marion had ever won before. I did not think I was going to win it for that interview. That came several months later. Or maybe it was the following year I won that award. I think it might have been the following year. But it was all due to Helen. If Helen had not given me the interview, it would not have happened. And today's the 13th anniversary of that, 13 years ago that happened. So I was thinking about that this morning. And, you know, I don't even know if people know who Helen Thomas is anymore. I think Helen's been gone now for 11 years. I think she died in 2012. When this all went down, she was 90 or 91, close to 91. But Helen was a trooper, and she made egg sandwiches and ginger ale for us after the interview. It was just a magical moment in time. And the thing I remember most about it was people in Marion going, how in the world did that interview happen out of Marion, Ohio? How in the world did somebody from Marion, Ohio get a national interview when everybody wanted that interview? And, you know, to be honest, I don't know why she did it. There's a clip where she says she thought I was a fair journalist. I hope that's what it was. And I hope that I am a fair journalist. And 13 years ago that happened, that was my first national story that had went national. Now, since then, I've had a few, and I appreciate that. But that was the first, and you always remember the first. And again, just very strange to think of what's going on in Israel and Palestine now, because that is why Helen got fired all those years ago. So, very, very, very interesting timing this year to bring this up with what's going on over in the Middle East. So, there you go. Today's the anniversary, and I remember that very, very, very fondly. Does anybody out there remember that interview? Does anybody remember the hysteria that went on after that? I remember being called back into the station that day. I had left after I aired the interview that morning. I remember being called back in because we had broken the internet server. So many people were trying to get the interview. The interview had to be sent to foreign outlets. The BBC, the United Kingdom, Britain, had called the radio station. I mean, it was just unbelievable what had happened. I don't know if anything ever like that had happened in Marion, Ohio before. with a news story. It was just, it's hard to explain, to be honest. You really had to be there. But does anybody remember that? Or have any thoughts in general? But that was the first. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And that all happened 13 years ago this morning. It is hard for me to believe that it has been 13 years since that happened. Because in a lot of ways, it does seem like yesterday. But then in a lot of ways, it does seem like some time has passed. But boy, that was a big capital B, capital I, capital G deal. So that's my anniversary date. See, I don't celebrate wedding anniversaries, and I don't celebrate any other anniversary. So I guess this is the anniversary that I celebrate, the anniversary of interviewing Helen Thomas. Okay, phone lines are open, 51 minutes past the hour here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Also, did anybody attend the League of Women Voters Candidates Night the other night at Harding? Tuesday night, I believe it was. All the candidates were supposed to be there, city council, mayor, all those races. Anything going on there of any interest? Or did anybody go to the thing at River Valley last night? Was that of any interest or help to anybody, the candidate night last night at River Valley? Let me know if you have any information out there, 740-751-4038. Did anybody read the paper last, or was it yesterday? I was reading a story about how the city council voted unanimously to bring in somebody to help the auditor. Did anybody see that story in the newspaper? I believe it was in yesterday's newspaper. You know, boy, oh boy, we've had a lot of issues with the auditor, and now they're bringing in, I think, help from the state to try to get her on the tracks, Miranda McGinnis. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Very rarely do we get a unanimous vote on something, and city council voted unanimously to do that. Did anybody see that story in the paper yesterday? Or have any thoughts on what's going on with the auditor? I believe it was yesterday's paper. Although the days are starting to blur together for me right now with the taping last night and the dinner and doing the show this morning and everything going on tomorrow, the days are a little bit of a blur sometimes. But what do you think of what's going on with the auditor? Apparently going to get some help, I believe, from the state. Is what was said. And I'll tell you, the cover of every newspaper I looked at yesterday, whether it was the Columbus Dispatch or the USA Today or the Marion Star, we're talking about Israel and Palestine, and we have not talked a lot about that on this program, but, you know, people, that, I really don't know what you can say about it. It's that part of the world has always been very volatile. We've talked about that for years in this country. Israel and Palestine do not get along. This has been a problem since World War II, and it continues to happen. And the things we're seeing out of there are just awful. And I don't know what you can do. It's very hard. The rhetoric, the words, the things that people are saying in that area are just unbelievable that we've gotten to this point. And where did the money come from to have this attack happen? I don't know. Anyway, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. You know, I don't think it's a good sign that nobody knows anything about Candidates Night from Tuesday or the candidates' night at River Valley last night, or the story about the auditor in the newspaper on Tuesday. This can't be a good sign when it comes to these events attendance and the Marion Star. But if you know anything, let me know. 740-751-4038. Okay. What else was there to talk about? Oh, well, there's the whole succulent thing. You know, I still have not gotten a succulent. That was the gift that I was supposed to get back in May. Just found out 2 days ago what a succulent was. Apparently some kind of a plant. Aloe vera. If you get poison ivy, you can rub it on yourself and not have any issues there. Apparently some people use them as a craft project to put sayings in the succulent. And again, I'm not asking for a succulent. If a succulent has not been purchased for me, I don't want the succulent because I'm not asking for a gift here. I don't need a gift. But I don't know. I just feel, and I've said this before. I believe I've said it the last two mornings in a row. I just think it's a little bit of a cover, and I don't mind a cover. Where somebody says, you know, I got you a gift, and then 5 months pass, and the gift never shows up, and then you ask about the gift, and the person says, oh, yeah, well, of course, I still have that gift. It's on my windowsill at home. Just a little bit of a cover. That's all I'm saying. And nothing wrong with a cover from time to time. You know, sometimes you have to change things up a little bit. But if a succulent shows up, I'll be happy. I'll display it, I guess, in a windowsill is what you do. Apparently, you don't have to do anything with a succulent, is my understanding, except put it near light, I guess. If there's anything more to it than that, somebody should let me know. Does anybody know, do I have to do anything more with a succulent besides put it in a window? Are there more steps involved in this particular endeavor? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. The phone lines are wide open here, and we'd love to hear from you. 57 minutes past the hour. Talking about succulents. Candidates night the other night at Harding. Candidate night at River Valley last night. The 13th anniversary of the Helen Thomas interview 13 years ago this morning. All this stuff on the table. And also, don't forget, we're going to have the pumpkin pizza or jack-o'-lantern pizza, as it were, coming up on Friday, October 27th to celebrate the Halloween event coming up. It's going to be interesting. Pumpkin pizza doesn't sound horrible. You know, on the surface, it doesn't sound all that great. But last year, the pumpkin pie pizza prior to Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Eve went over very, very well. So I don't think we can knock the pumpkin pie pizza. Matter of fact, I think, you know, maybe it'll be very popular. The pumpkin pie pizza was very popular. We love our dessert pizzas. You know, one of the things we discussed last night when I had Ted and Matt and Carrington together was superstitions, phobias. Does anybody have a phobia of Friday the 13th or a superstition? I don't know. I don't think I do. I'm not even sure how Friday the 13th became a thing. Does anybody know? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Does anybody have any idea why Friday the 13th is something that we talk about? Must have something to do with Fridays. Must have something to... You know, 13 I know is an unlucky number, but I don't know why Friday is unlucky. Most people like Fridays. It's the end of the week. But to have a Friday the 13th in the month of October, which is already considered kind of a scary month, I guess we should say, with Halloween, maybe that's one of the reasons this all comes together this way. But you know what? We're going to go to break. We'll come back, talk more about it on the other side. Don't you dare go anywhere. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
The way your arms got going, I, yeah, like,